Welcome to Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV, the voice of the voiceless. This is the big conversation. This is the great debate, but it can only be a debate if you join in. That's why, above all, I need your telephone calls. 44208-601-4555. You call us, we'll call you back, establish a clear line. And if you get on the television with me, the volume on your television must be at zero, or no one will understand either of us. You can SMS the show also on 4478-00-8066. Or you can email us at comment@presstv.co.uk. So the Yanks are going home from Iraq. Well, except the nearly 5,000 of them whose life's blood they're leaving in the desert sands of Iraq. Apart from the 30,000 plus severely wounded, maimed and damaged, who are too damaged probably ever to make it back to home and hearth. Of course, the 3 million Iraqis driven out of their country into exile, many of them begging in the countries alongside Iraq, may never go home. And of course, the Americans are going home without $2 trillion of their people's money that they expended on this ruinous and disastrous war. We'll be discussing the last post for the American Empire, as I described it in today's Guardian newspaper. You can look it up, guardian.co.uk. Now, that doesn't mean they've left the region, as the drone, which illegally entered Iran's airspace and was brought down by the brilliance of the air defenses of the Islamic Republic, makes clear. Unbelievably, how's this for chutzpah? President Barack Obama has asked Iran for the drone back again. It's like a criminal asking for the bullet back that he just shot through someone's window. You really couldn't make it up. No apology, no compensation, but please give us our illegal drone back. And the isolation of the United Kingdom from the rest of the European continent continues apace, as does the collapse of the euro, losing value by the hour today in the marketplace. It looks like the European Union is headed for the rocks. David Cameron, the man who walked out on the rest of Europe at the meeting in Brussels just the other night, was home in time to welcome the King of Bahrain, who snuck into Britain without anyone knowing he was here, without a single flag flying anywhere in the country, without meeting the Queen, even though he's supposedly a king, and almost entirely ignored by the mainstream British media. Imagine if Assad of Syria or any other of the leaders involved in deeply controversial handling of their people's democracy demands. Imagine if one of they were to come here. Can you imagine the screaming headlines in the British media? Not for the King of Bahrain. The people of Bahrain continue to march and protest for their freedom and for democratic rights. Britain shakes the hands of the man who shoots them down in the street, indeed tries to sell him more guns, the better to do so. Let's take a look at matters Bahrain up here on the comment wall. As always, the Bahrainis, brave to the last man and woman, boy and girl, are demanding the same democratic rights that David Cameron goes to war to bring about in other people's countries. But here he is, looking a little uncomfortable, if you ask me, shaking the hand of a man. The media were given the wrong time of the meeting. There was no flags flying. There was no way anyone could know that this man was in the country. Isn't it extraordinary? In fact, only one British newspaper even covered the presence of an Arab king involved in the Arab Spring in London. And even they gave a very small show indeed. The Guardian, the aforementioned English newspaper. Let's take a look at what they had to say. Just, I think it's page 10, two columns, and a tiny photograph. But they say a picture tells 1,000 words, you know. And this picture, small as it is, tells 1,000 more. Looking ashamed of his house guest. And this, it's a postage stamp, as you can see. The Bahrain opposition called the meeting a shocking misjudgment. Another example of Britain on the side of the tyrant against the people being oppressed by the tyrant. Though when the Bahraini people overthrow their tyranny, be sure David Cameron will be out there telling us that he was against the dictator all along. These are, of course, my views. They're not the views of Press TV. They're not the views of any government. And moreover, if you have different views, your call, your SMS, your email will be prioritized. Let's start with a woman caller in the United Kingdom about the drone which Iran brought down just the other day. Anna, in the United Kingdom, welcome to the show.
Oh.
Anna?
Hi, George. What worries me as well is that the settlers are torching the mosques in Palestine. You know, nobody's telling us anything about that, of course, except you guys.
Except Press TV.
Yes, and that's how I know anything. And also, I think it's, well, the drone thing is just, if it wasn't tragic, it would be laughable.
It would be. To be honest with you, Anna, I am laughing about it. Here's this vastly expensive piece of machinery illegally flying over Iran, and the Iranians, who Americans probably like to believe are some kind of backwater, managed to bring it down without a scratch on its beautiful yellow paintwork. And then they're forced to ask for it back. I mean, President Obama, in the way that he asked for it back, it may be, maybe we'll see it later, the least eloquent statement President Barack Obama has ever made in his political life. Because, well, he was having to eat ash at the same time as making it. Anna, where are you watching us and what are you watching us on? Are you watching us on Sky?
No, well, unfortunately, I have to have that to get the sports and stuff, but I'm watching Sky TV through Press TV.
Yeah.
Through Sky.
Marvellous. I hope Ofcom are listening. The solidly, splendidly respectable Anna in the United Kingdom. Let's go all the way to Iran, talk to Fahim about that very drone. Fahim, welcome to the show, my friend.
Hello, Mr. George.
Very nice to hear from you. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. To be honest, comments on Press TV is the voice of the voiceless.
Thank you.
You're welcome. In the last speech presented by Mr. Obama, he said that ending a war is harder than starting it.
Indeed,
that
yes.
I hope
he really means it.
Yeah, that is exactly what a president said. This president is looking for peace. But I don't know how he says that. After the 9-year invasion, we see that the U.S. defense chief says that Iraqi's children will have a better future. I don't know what kind of future it is that the political figure called it better, as you mentioned, a very well-made point at the beginning of the program that they have left blood in this country. Also, the U.S. soldiers are leaving Iraq, but I think their presence will shift to a diplomatic and political one. They are keeping a huge embassy. It is called the biggest one in the world with 15,000 of people. You know, but above all, if Americans have achieved anything, they have achieved it for their own benefits in the first place.
They achieved nothing, Fahim.
Yeah.
And I've argued in my Guardian article today that when the trumpeter was playing the taps, he was in fact sounding the last post for the American empire. This war was launched, yes, for oil, yes, for Israel, but above all, to terrify the world with American power, especially China. In fact, China and the whole world now knows that almost bankrupt and defeated on Haifa Street in Baghdad, defeated by the resistance of the Iraqi people, and rejected by the masses of the entire Muslim world, it's the last post for the American empire. Hallelujah, I say. Let's go back to London, talk to Adam about the UK and the euro. Adam, welcome to the show, my friend.
Thank you very much, George. It's been a while ever since I got in touch.
Nice to hear from you again. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you very much. George, you see, I've been saying about the hypocrisy of the West in terms of the Muslim world or the Arab world. Now, they finish with Iraq. The next place to go is Iran.
They'll never go to Iran, Adam.
They will never go, George. Hold on. The underlying word is trying to give the dog a bad name for it to be attacked or for it to be killed. Now, Britain is spending millions of pounds to build Trident. America has the most deadliest chemical weapons in the world, and they've ever used it. They used it in Vietnam. America is the only country that has ever used nuclear weapon. They use it in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Apart from America, no world or no country has ever used a nuclear weapon. Iran said, we want to use it for civilian reasons. We want to use it for fuel. Britain is using it. French is using it.
Germany is using it.
Everybody is using it. And when Shah was there, when he was the puppet to the America, they wanted to sell him the nuclear technology to
have a nuclear weapon. Indeed they did. Adam, I couldn't put that better myself, so I shan't try. It's as if you'd been listening to me. Thanks for that call. Let's stay in London. Talk to Tony about the drone. Tony, welcome to the show, my friend.
Hello, George.
Nice to hear from you again. Go on.
Yes, nice talking to you, George.
Thanks.
Two things here, George. Now, regarding that drone, which the brilliance of the Iranian army or air force...
Air defenses, yes.
This was a violation of international law. Now, Panetta, Leon Panetta...
Well, let's call it what it is, Tony. It was a crime.
Yes,
it was a crime that they committed.
Yeah, and as Panetta, or Leon Panetta, who was in Afghanistan, threatened of more drone attacks in the future, and they demand the return of that drone which was brought down. Now, can you imagine if China or Iran send drones over the United States airspace
and then ask for it back?
And they would demand its return. They would be made a laughingstock.
Indeed, you've got to hand it to them, Tony, for brass neck. Or chutzpah in the old Yiddish. Thanks for that, Tony. Let's go to Farouk in London on the drone. The drone's popular tonight. Farouk, what would you like to say?
Salaam alaikum to you, George.
Alaikum salam. Go on.
The drone. I mean, you know, what's happening to America? Don't they have any brain? Starting this kind of thing in the Middle East again. You look at the millions of lives that was lost in Iraq. What's happening in Afghanistan? The whole of the Middle East will be on fire.
Yeah.
I mean, as a human race, where are we going to? Surely, mind cannot be right in this particular instance. Why can't we live peacefully together? I mean, Iran is using whatever technology they have achieved so far for peaceful means. They are not attacking any country. They are not making any threat to America. Why should they? I mean, what's happening to the think tank in America, I wonder?
Well, 300 years, Iran didn't attack anyone, but people attacked Iran at the behest of countries like Britain and America, and armed to the teeth by countries like Britain and America. Farouk, thanks for that call. Let's go to the Sultanate of Oman, talk to Mahmoud, also on the drone. Mahmoud, welcome to the show.
Hi, George. Good evening. Good to see you. And
very nice to hear from you, sir. Go ahead.
I think it's a marvelous job which the Iranians have done to just put the Americans' noses down, to be quite honest.
Yeah, did you? Barack Obama's face is a picture as he asks for it back. Maybe we'll show it later in the second half of the show.
Well, I, 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 I've seen that and watched it on several stations. I just have a small comment about the so-called Newt Gingrich, if I may, Will, please.
Yes, of course.
I don't know, this far-right Zionist, I wonder, just I'm just putting a question, please, where if he is ever elected, when he talks as a commander-in-chief or president of the United States, does he talk about the people who have elected him, or does he talk about the entire nation of the United States?
Well, to be honest, they're all abasing themselves one after the other in front of the Israel lobby in the United States, and they're denouncing President Obama as some kind of friend of the Palestinians, which is, of course, preposterous, but it just goes to show how much worse President Newt or President Mitt would be. I fear that we're going to have the choice between bad and badder next November in the US presidential elections. I think we're going to have to hope that Barack Obama gets back. That's how bad it is. Thanks, Mahmoud, in Oman. Let's go to Birmingham in England, talk to Nabil about the Iraq war. Nabil, welcome to the show.
Hi, George.
Hi,
yeah,
go ahead.
I've been watching Press TV for 2 months, and I've converted a lot of my friends and
excellent
relatives. I converted them from Sky News and BBC.
Excellent, excellent.
Now, what I need you to, we need you to educate us on this, because a lot of the general perception from my friends and business associates and family is that dictators in Iraq, Libya, and all the other dictators around the Arab world are needed to keep so many, you know, you've got all these tribes fighting against each other in Iraq and Libya. Now, I support democracy, but how do we educate the others? Because we need to get the root of the problem. Because if you have corruption in the country and you have so many tribes fighting each other who hate each other more than they hate their leaders, for example, if we go to Pakistan, every time the democracy comes in, the military take over because there's corruption and so much infighting amongst the people of the country. So how do we go around? How do we solve that problem? Because every time we get a democracy into a country, some strongman comes over, takes over, and the general perception from my friends and relatives is that these strongmen are needed to keep everybody in line.
No,
what do you think?
I support democracy. These so-called strongmen usually help themselves first, and then their families, and then their cliques, before they help anyone else. But of course, the pattern for all of this was set during the long period of empire. The Sykes-Picot Agreement, which divided the Arab world on entirely artificial bases and imbued the populations there and the ruling elites there with a false sense of mini-patriotism for their own little invented patch, were deliberately divided in order to be ruled. Now, the imperial project is to divide them further, this time on a sectarian or confessional basis. By dividing them, we can better rule them. And by ruling them, we can better steal their things, which is, of course, the point of empire in the first place. But no dictatorship. Whatever warm words about Zionism or imperialism that it might utter from time to time, and they're usually just words, can persist for long, because government has to be of the people, for the people, by the people, and above all, government must be removable by the people. And that's called democracy. Nabil in Birmingham, thanks for that. Let's go to Zakaria in Aberdeen on the drone. Zakaria, welcome to the show.
Good evening, Mr. George Galloway, and salam alaikum to all Muslims. Regarding the drone, the Iran must share it with the Russia and the China for balance of power, and also to Argentina. And then the other things regarding this act of aggression, the veto right of the America must be put on ice, because veto right supposed to make secure the international security when they are using their power for the endangering the world peace. Then they have no legitimacy to have a veto right in the Security Council. Then America must be expelled from the Security Council, and the same Britain and France. because they have endangered the world peace. And in this world now, we are at the edge of the nuclear war. And in Baghdad, America must reduce that embassy, which is occupation, act of occupation. Iraqi government, they will secure the embassy of the American, and that embassy should be only one building with the maximum 7-story.
Zakaria, the only way you could abolish America's veto would be to move such a resolution in the Security Council, which would promptly be vetoed by the United States. The only way you could expel Britain, France, and America from the Security Council would be to do so by a vote in the Security Council, which would be vetoed by America, Britain, and France. So that's not going to happen anytime soon. But as I've argued in my Guardian article this morning, and the reason I'm insisting that these are the last days of the American empire is because America is almost bankrupt, and its hard power was shown up in its limitations in the attack and occupation of Iraq, not in its success. It does have a big embassy in Baghdad. I predict you it won't have it for long, because the Iraqi people, Sunni and Shia, supporters of the war originally and opponents of the war originally, are united in one thing. They will not accept Iraq as a country under imperialist occupation. They will not accept it. It will be closed. It will be thinned down to normal embassy size. In due course, have patience, dear brother Zakaria. Let's go to London, talk to John about the ever-popular drone. John, welcome to the show.
Yeah, good evening, sir.
Good evening to you. Go ahead.
Yeah, in fact, Mr. George, I will tell you the truth. I'm so happy that I witnessed what is going on, what Iran did to American. I witnessed it in my own time before I die. They always believe that no one can do that to them. And I praise Iran.
It's a magnificent achievement by the Iranian air defenses. Magnificent.
It was fantastic. You see, the advice I will give America is this. Iran is a country that they unite with their government. They have their own democracy. It may be in a different form with Western world, but they have their own democracy. If they attack Iran, it will be more than Iraq own. Iraq own, they were not in support of Saddam Hussein, but yet Americans spent $1 trillion there. Come to a country where all the old country members support their government. How much money will they spend there? How much life?
Well, I think that you're making a very important point, John. Iranians are not any more united than anybody else, because it's a democratic country, has its own democratic system. There are people with the government, there are people against the government. Even those who are with the government, some are for the president, some are against the president. They are normal people. They don't all agree. But in Iran, you can be sure that any Western attack on Iran, any Israeli attack on Iran, which is the same thing, will unite the vast majority of Iranians behind the Islamic Republic in its defense of the motherland. Let's try and squeeze one in before the break. In Germany, it's Kamal on the drone. Kamal, welcome.
George, good evening. About the settlement problem in occupied Palestine, I want to make a little bit different between the government in the United States and the American people. It's something else. The people in the United States know what human rights is. I think so. That about more than 250 million people how to decide that the human rights watch tell us about this occupied sector in the settlement problem in Palestine. And the main support, and it's my own opinion, is just only this Wahhabi family, and with them petrodollar, they protect everything they like, the Zionists all over the world. they try to make the wave about the revolution in the Arab world.
Well, look, I'll tell you what, Kamal. We'll talk later about these potentates in the Persian Gulf. I've got lots to say about them. But I have to take a break now for the news headlines, and I will be back with the second half of comment right after the news. So don't go away. Stay tuned always to Press TV. You won't want to miss the second comment. Welcome back to Comment with me, George Galloway, on Press TV. Now, I mentioned it earlier, and I've managed to dig it out. It's the least eloquent statement ever made by President Barack Obama. He's like a thief who's been caught stealing in a department store and is called up in front of the store security. Take a look on the comment wall at Barack Obama on the famous yellow drone. It's really worth seeing.
With respect to the drone inside of Iran, I'm not going to comment on intelligence matters that are classified. As has already been indicated, we have asked for it back. We'll see how the Iranians respond.
You really got to laugh. As we've already indicated, we've asked for it back. Yes. Well, I don't make decisions in Iran. I don't make decisions even in Press TV. But if there's anyone listening in Tehran, don't give it back. Once you've spread it around the universities, give it to China, because that's the ultimate target in any case. Now, it is an auspicious day in Iraq, and it's auspicious here on Comment, because I believe I have the very first ever call from Iraq, from Muhammad. Muhammad in Iraq, a special welcome to you here on Comment. Muhammad.
Thank you, Mr. George.
Now,
assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam. Are the people of Iraq happy this evening to see the end of the American occupation of their country?
Please, Mr. George, I want to say the time of the world is finished now. There is no war in Iraq. We hope to get more freedom, to get more peace, and we live peacefully with our neighborhood, like Iran, Turkey, Syria, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, and Jordan.
And are you feeling...
Mr. George, first I want to apologize. There is a problem in my English language. I apologize about this.
No, it's very
now
good.
I want to talk about the future.
Go
the
on.
The future with USA or with Iran, Republic Islamic Iran, or with another country.
Go on.
We need the experienced man. We need engineers, doctors, to help our doctors, our engineers, to be more experienced to build our country.
But Iraq has wonderful engineers. Iraq has wonderful engineers and doctors, Mohammed.
Yes,
the Iraqi people don't need foreigners,
right, Mr. George,
to rebuild their country, surely.
Yes, Mr. George, that's right. But there is a few of them, and if they are out of Iraq,
That's what you need. That's what you need. You need the Iraqis to come back. That's what you need.
That's right.
Iraq had more engineers than all the Arabs put together.
A few minutes, please, Mr. George. Please, Mr. George.
Yes.
I was talking on the BBC Arabic before a few moments, and I said the Arabs are praying for us because the judgments or presidents of Arab nations now have a problems with the Arab people, and this is helpful for us because this president, this judgment was kill Iraqi people. But to be honest with you, this really story, the Arab do not support us.
Okay, Mohammed, it wasn't a great line. Your English was fine, and I hope that you'll bring more and more Iraqi viewers to Press TV, because we, at least I can't speak for the station, I myself am praying that today begins a new era for Iraq of national unity between Iraqis, whatever their religion, however they practice that religion. One Iraq, one Iraqi people. With its engineers and its doctors going back to the country, with no one killing each other, rebuilding Iraq to the great country that it ought to be. Mohammed, I take my hat off to you and the resistant people of the Arab Republic of Iraq. Sakina's in the United Kingdom. She spotted the Bahrain king sneaking around like a thief in the night. Let's hear what she has to say about it. Sakina, welcome to the show.
Assalamu alaikum, yes, hello.
Hi.
Yes, I just wanted to say I completely agree with your comments that you made on the opening of the show about the Bahrain king. Yes, very good words to you, sneaking around.
Yeah.
Yes, I don't think anybody would have found out. And the small article that appeared in The Guardian, yeah, that was also very sneaky. Yes, but I actually did want to speak about Bahrain itself, actually. Just looking at the recent events in Syria, you can see that the Arab League nation quickly took a stance. They applied sanctions. They took them out of the Arab League nation. You know, the events moved very quickly over a small protest. Small meaning compared to the protests that have occurred in Yemen and Bahrain. And it's just it just confuses me. And I wanted to hear your opinion on this. That these so-called world leaders, I think you probably know who I'm talking about. They step into these countries like Afghanistan, Iraq, all these countries where they think, where on the basis, on the pretext that there's oppression, there's injustice going on, and you know they're going to bring about democracy, get rid of the dictatorship and the regimes. But why have these so-called leaders turned a blind eye to Bahrain and Yemen?
Well, of course.
The whole Yemen was out on the street. You just think, why can nobody see this? I mean, what do you think? What's your views on this?
Well, I think you know my view, Sakina, and it's exactly the same as yours, that these people are absolute hypocrites. They supported Ali Abdullah Saleh whilst millions of Yemenis were on the street every day and being gunned down in their thousands. Bahrain, actually, is the biggest revolution in the Arab world, proportionate to the size of Bahrain. There's only 600,000 Bahrainis, and the number of Bahrainis involved in the democracy movement dwarfs, as a proportion to their population, any of the other Arab revolutions. The Western governments and the Western media are either ignoring the killing in Bahrain, in the case of the media, or are arming the killers, in the case of the British. We are selling weapons to the killers of the democracy protesters in Bahrain. We are training the killers of the democracy protesters in Saudi Arabia. Sakina, this week in Saudi Arabia, a woman was beheaded, charged with witchcraft and sorcery. Can you imagine the outcry there would be around the world if this had happened in another country? Nearby, it would have been front page news, headline topping news, in every country, hour after hour after hour. But I didn't see it once on any of the Western media. They don't care anything about women or women's rights or gay rights or democracy rights or human rights or civil rights. It's all just hypocrisy, a card they play when they want to change this regime, and a card they don't play when they want to keep that regime in power. Thanks for that, Sakina. You got me fired up. George is in the UK. He wants to talk about the famous drone. George, welcome to the show.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yes. I'm trying to put forward as well the same point that you say that, you know, what they're trying to say to do is that the international community, especially Britain, as you were mentioning about Bahrain, is that they are the very same people who are setting fire. And once the fire is there, they're trying not to play as firefighter. You see? So the same issue is happening all over the world. That's the politics. This is a total chaos, and it is the moral, the low level of morality. This is a kind of corruption that they're trying to say that they are fighting against, and while they are themselves involved on that.
Well, you've put it very well, George. I won't try to better that. That's the kind of hypocrisy that we are talking about. That's why the king had to sneak in like a thief in the night, because they couldn't announce his visit. They couldn't roll out the red carpet. They couldn't put up the flags, because that would demonstrate to the entire world what hypocrites they are. So if they're ashamed of their guest, why did they invite him? And if they're not ashamed of their guest, why didn't they show him? We've got them. Don't you think? Let's go to the comment wall. George, thanks for that. Let's go to the comment wall and take three quick emails, because it's really important that everyone gets a show here, especially if you have a point of view which is different to mine. Let's see what we have. First and foremost, on the comment wall, it's important to get everybody's view, every country. Here's John in London. George, I have to say your analysis on Bahrain is totally wrong. The King of Bahrain is our ally in the Middle East and our great asset in countering country. Many of the protesters are militant Islamists. Anyway, I think that probably says it all, John. I don't know which John you are, if you're a member of the cabinet or a member of the government, or if you're on the editorial board of the Times or Sky News. You might as well be, because that is exactly the kind of deep, cynical, wicked hypocrisy that guides the policy of Western countries. It's just, you see, I could take that better if they didn't dress themselves up in such finery about human rights, liberty, and democracy. If they were all as brutally cynical as you, well, personally, I would actually find that easier to swallow. Let's stay on the comment wall and take a second text or email. This one's from Jade in London. George, do we have no say over who our elected PM invites to our country? Do we pay for the brutal Bahraini dictator to come here? No, Jade, he pays us, in the sense that he buys our guns and the machinery with which to target them on the democracy protesters in Bahrain. He hires our discredited police officers to try and overhaul the Bahrain police service. There was a man called Ian Henderson, tried that once before, and the results on the torture table are there to be seen. Just look it up. Let's take a last email, shall we, on the comment wall. Let's see where this one's from. It's again from London. Sean, George Obama wants his drone back. True genius would be in the middle of the night on Christmas Eve, when all good Americans are asleep. Iran silently, in the silence of the night, coordinates the drone ever so slowly across Europe, across the Atlantic, and lands it gently onto the White House lawn in time for sunrise. Sean, absolute genius. That is the email, not just of today, but of any day. Thanks, brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Let's go up to Leeds in England, talk to Nafreen about the Bahraini king. Yes, go ahead. Nafreen, welcome to the show.
Hi, George.
Hi.
It's nice to talk to you. I just want, like you said, to comment about the King of Bahrain visit to the UK.
Yeah.
I just want to say I'm not at all surprised by the appalling and disgraceful action of the UK government, but because we all know the history and the double standards they employ. I'm particularly angry at the timing of this. Actually, the visit came at the same day that a six-day-old baby died in Bahrain from tear gas.
Yes.
I think this visit will give the Bahraini government and the king the carte blanche to actually continue and be more brutal in oppressing the freedom protesters. And also, let's not forget the trial of the Bahraini doctors, which has been taking place for months now. And they were sentenced, and now they're on retrial. And actually, the effort, there's so many efforts have gone from doctors all over the world and UK, and actually particularly from the British Medical Journal, for the last several months to try and pressurize the Bahraini government to actually release these doctors and give them a fair trial at least. So things like that, I mean, the visit of the Bahraini king will just undermine all this work. It'll just give them the carte blanche, it'll give them the UK carte blanche to continue with their brutality.
Okay, Nafreen, all I would say to you is this. I understand you're upset. I understand your distress. I share it. But he won't be the king of Bahrain for much longer, if I'm any judge. And of course, there was a mouthpiece of the Bahraini dictatorship called here a few weeks ago. He promised us all sorts of video footage. Do you remember? He was going to show us footage of these doctors beating up patients, beating them up. He was very clear about it. It was on video, he said. He was going to send it me. And I was going to show it here on the comment show. Of course, it never arrived. Maybe it's stuck in the post. Nafreen in Leeds, thank you very much indeed. Sid is also in the UK. He wants to talk about the drone. Sid, welcome to the show. Sid?
Hello, Joe.
Yes,
hello,
go
nice
ahead.
To meet you.
You're on the air. Go ahead.
I'm calling. I just would like to make three comments. I am a very, very frustrated man, to be honest, for three main issues really direct my life. The first one is about the Iranian. The Iranian didn't attack or invade anybody for at least the last 200 or 300 years, right? So I don't know where the big panic comes.
Yep.
The second is about the big imperialism, American imperialism. I think they just are bullies. All the big agencies of the world, they're all in the West. You know, I'm talking about the United Nations, the FMI, all the big organizations. Why have we not got any on the other side, even in the emerging country? And the third one, which is the most important, is the Zionism. I mean, for that, I really blame the British and the French, at the beginning of the last century, where they just didn't do their job. And it's very frustrating to see all of that. And for the Holocaust of the Second World War, the world was silenced. And now this is exactly the same is happening now. And the world is silenced too.
Well, it's a great call. It's a great call, Sid. And of course, the original sin was with Britain and France, with Sykes and Picot, and with Mr. Balfour, with his infamous declaration, which stole the land of Palestine away from its people. But a bit more up to date, we really have to blame the Arab regimes for having tolerated the foreign occupation of Jerusalem for so long, when they could have ended it in a week or 2 weeks. If the Arab countries in the Persian Gulf had simply said that unless Jerusalem is free, unless the apartheid wall is knocked down, unless the siege of Gaza is ended, unless the Palestinians have a state of their own with Jerusalem as its capital, there will be no more oil and gas supplies from the Persian Gulf. And the very declaration of that possibility would have brought those walls tumbling down. But of course, instead, the great majority of them actively collaborated with the foreign occupation of one of their great cities, Jerusalem, as indeed they did with the foreign occupation of Baghdad, which at least ended today. Sam is in London, wants to talk about Bahrain. Sam, welcome to the show.
Good evening, Mr. Galloway.
Good evening, nice to talk to you. Go on.
Yes, I have a point related to Bahrain, but just wanted to start in the north of Yemen, something which is not televised in the news at the moment. A small village by the name of Damaj is surrounded by Shia rebels. I mean, in the name of trying to occupy independence in the north. They've basically held a town in siege. They've blocked food and medical supplies. Mm. And this is not being televised on the news whatsoever. The way it's related to Bahrain is because what's my theory, and I'm pretty sure on this, is what's happening right now is Iran is funding the siege also in Yemen, as is funding the protests which is going on in Bahrain. And generally, they are funding protests all around the Saudi Arabia. And their plan is to eventually have some sort of hold over Saudi Arabia. And if you know the history of the Shia and the Sunni conflict, and if you know the history and their origins, then their origins actually lie very closely to the aims and objectives of the Jews. And that is to have a state in that area, to have a state. Yeah. So, I mean,
you got a particular problem with Shia people, Sam?
To be honest, I mean, I don't have a particular problem with Shia individuals, no.
Just a general one? Just a general?
No, an ideology is an ideology.
You have a general problem with them, not a specific one.
My problem is really more so with the people who run countries such as Iran, okay. And they just happen to be Shia.
Yeah, let me just break this down a bit. The people who are demanding democracy, one man, one woman, one vote in Bahrain, are somehow illegitimate because the majority of the population of Bahrain are Shiite. That's the import of what you say. I know nothing of any siege in the north of Yemen, but I promise you that I'll investigate it. The people who run Iran were elected to run Iran. The president of Iran got 18 million votes, and 10 million people voted against him. On the other hand, nobody elected the president of Yemen. Nobody elected the president of Bahrain because they don't have one. He's called a king who has absolute power and who snuck into my country and yours like a thief in the night this very week. Nobody elected the king of Saudi Arabia, which you say is the victim of yet another Shiite conspiracy. Well, you can try and fool yourself with all that balderdash, Sam, but you ain't fooling anybody else much. I promise you that. You see, when someone demands one man, one woman, one vote for the leadership of their country, you know, I think they have a right to do so, whether they're Sunni or whether they're Shia. But you are a useful idiot, you see, because you are the kind of person who is being used by the supporters of dictatorship to divide the masses in order the better to rule them. But you know what, Sam? If Sam is indeed your name, it ain't working anymore. Get over it. Actually, I'm told that Ahmadinejad got 24 million votes, not 18. I was shortchanging him, it appears. Umm al-Fatima is in Denmark. She wants to talk about the drone. Fatima, welcome.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Umm al-Fatima from Denmark.
Go on.
So I'm not so good in English, yet I want to express my feelings.
Quickly.
Yeah, Muslim world must support and stand by Iran. On this great occasion, they must appreciate and celebrate this highly, highly valued occasion.
Excellent. That's a very, very good final message from the people of Denmark. Come back next week.
Hello, could you comment on the name and the face of your account number? And just make sure that your television volume is set up to 0.
0, 0. Can you spell your name for me?
Yeah, I know, and I'll be redirecting you through this phone number, and then we'll be back.
Can I have your telephone number?